Son of man, God asked, can these bones live? This valley full of very dry bones, can these bones come to life? What does Ezekiel say? You alone, Lord, only you know. In other words, I don't know, but anything's possible with you, God. You alone are able, and I'm not going to decide ahead of you when something is over, says Ezekiel the prophet. I've been filled with your presence and scooped up in the spirit. I've seen powerful things, visions and angels. I've seen a wheel and I felt the burning fire of your holy presence, and you've spoken through me again and again. Who am I to say that it's over? Can these bones live, you ask me? You alone, Lord, only you know. That was a response full of faith and solid hope in a God who can do the impossible. In the midst of a valley graveyard, Ezekiel knows that God is able. God is able. When everything else is saying death, Ezekiel says, not unless God says it's over, is it over. When everything is pointing to destruction and despair, Ezekiel says, if you want to, God, you are able. When everything says dead end, it's hopeless, it's over, it's done, it's finished, Ezekiel holds on to the God of his salvation, the God who always keeps his promises, the God who is faithful, the God who never, ever, ever, we've seen in this story, gives up on his people. Standing there up to his knees in dry, dry bones as he walks among the dead, back and forth, Ezekiel still looks up to God and does not look around him. He looks up. And as is so typically gracious of God, and you may not have caught this, God involves then Ezekiel in the process of bringing life to those bones. He has him prophesy to the bones. You ever think of that? And that is when this vast, mountainous disarray of bones come together, bone to bone, and tendons and flesh appear, and the skin grows over them, and human beings are formed, a vast army. Right? It's a promise that the nation of Israel will indeed be restored. And it's a promise to us today that the church, the new Israel, in this age will also be restored and renewed. It's Ezekiel's words as he cooperates with God's command that brings this valley of dry bones together to form human beings. And although then they're assembled, if you noticed, it wasn't until what happens? The breath of God breathes into these forms that they come to life. So that parallels what happens in Eden when God created man and woman. He created them, but it wasn't until his breath went into them that they came alive. So the same thing happens in Ezekiel. And again, God involves Ezekiel in the process and tells Ezekiel to call on the Spirit to fill these newly assembled beings that were once just dry bones. And these beings come to life and they stand up. And the dry bones did live. Jewish theology teaches that God created human beings because he was lonely. You can debate that if you want, but it makes sense if God is love that he would need an object for his affection. All through the reading of the story, we see God is pursuing his people and involving them in his work, just like he involved Ezekiel in bringing life out of death. And today, we too need to be involved in the ministry of hope, as so many of you are who are going to Rancho Santa Marta. God commands us to speak to the difficult situations in this dark world, and where people are saying, it's over, to say, there's still God. And he's still able. Let's read that scripture all together again. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know and I am the Lord. Isn't that the theme that we keep coming across again and again throughout our reading of the story? When people say it's over, God says, wait, it's not over. I will rescue you. I will come after you. What you have made dead by your sin and your rebellion against me, I will make alive. So don't be fooled by what appears to be dead ends. Don't trust the despair or hold an affinity for the message of futility that pervades our culture. Don't believe the way of the world. Don't believe it when the fat lady sings, it's not over. Hope in God. For when you're without power, when you're weak, when you've run out of options, when you're dead and dried up, there is still the breath of God. And brittle bones will band together and be blown full of life. And a dry old man and a barren old woman will give birth to a son. Remember Isaac? And the water will come from a rock. Remember Moses? And the walls of Jericho will fall down. And a tiny people chosen by God will prevail. And a virgin will bear a son. And a tomb will be empty. And the dead will be raised. And I'm not talking about cheap faith here, a faith in long shots where we're told if we believe more and more, God will turn our scars into stars. I'm not talking cheap faith. I'm talking about the deep hope that Scripture witnesses to and that many of you have experienced, that God is a God who doesn't change, and that today, just as he did for Ezekiel and the people of Israel, who did eventually return home and who did indeed rebuild the temple, that's coming, he continues to breathe life into dead ends and dry bones. It's not over till God says it's over. Turn to the person next to you and just say, God is able. Just take a moment. Say, God is able. You know, it's so important to encourage each other in this way, right? This is a good thing. Most of you are smiling. We could do that more, all right? Because we all know in this world what dead ends are, right? The world is full of them. We know the dead ends of bankruptcy and depression, of sexual abuse, lonely, loveless relationships, unemployment, or employment that has no meaning, and we're stuck in it, or heart disease, or grieving the loss of a loved one, or family conflicts that just won't budge. We know the dead ends of peace in our world and armed conflict in the Middle East. We know violence on our own streets and the profound imbalance of a global economy. Dead ends and dry bones are the way of this world. We know dead ends. But we also know the same God Ezekiel knew. This ancient text opens up a window, an angle, a perspective, a vision that despite all that, God is still able. And I've seen the Lord rattle old bones, bones that were very dry and marriages that were dead. Those marriages have been brought back to life. And those dry with greed, I've seen them come alive with compassion and generosity. And those dry with depression, I've seen them drenched with deep laughter again. And those with dry cynicism and doubt, I've seen them come to believe. And those dried up by grief, I've seen them comforted by God's grace and brought to refreshment. One day, folks, this old world is going to be turned upside down, and the dead bones of our culture and those oppressed by systems of intolerance will dance of justice and mercy and peace. That's God's promise to us. And our task as Christians is to be faithful and to stand with Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones and proclaim to those in mourning and in despair, it's not over till God says it's over. All things are possible. God is able. That's our task, to proclaim it to the world that there are no dead ends with God. God is the author of life, not death. He hates death. And if he can give life to a valley of dry bones, if he can bring resurrection and make a tomb empty, then he can bring life to any situation you're encountering, no matter how bad it seems. Our task as Christians is to proclaim that truth. I was talking to Emmy Kwan this week. She's a member here of the congregation. She couldn't be here today. But she told me a story and gave me permission to share this with you. These are her words. About 15 years ago, she said, I was sitting in the kitchen, drinking my cup of tea and looking at the front page of the Mercury News. A young Asian boy from Hong Kong had just arrived here and was in the San Jose State School, and he was in his dorm room, when there was noise outside his dorm room door. Several boys had been fooling around with some mattresses that somehow caught on fire, and one of the mattresses got slammed up against this young student's dorm. And the whole place erupted in flames. He was trapped in his dorm room. And by the time he was rescued, his body was 70% burned. He was taken to Santa Clara Hospital Burn Center on Bascom Avenue. She said, I called the hospital immediately and asked if I could come and pray for this young man. She didn't know him. She had just read it in the paper and felt God's call to do this. The nurse said that I could only if I got permission from his father. I gave her my phone number, and within 2 hours, the father called me and said, yes, please come. I was nervous because I didn't know how I would react if I saw his burnt body. So I did a lot of praying before I went. When I arrived, the boy's father met me and told me what had happened to him at San Jose State that morning. They took me into his room, and there was a huge net around his bed. There was an opening where I could talk to him, but I couldn't see him because of all of the gauze they had wrapped around his face. I prayed for him and his family then. And I began to keep doing this every chance I could. Emmy said she would go to pray for him aloud during her lunch break and after work. And then one day after doing this for a while, she started to wonder, do they really want me here? Am I being intrusive? I don't know this family. I keep coming, but I'm not sure this is really helpful. Maybe I'm being annoying or I'm being too involved. So she asked the father, would you rather I not come anymore? I am not sure that this is helpful or this is what you want. And the father turned to her and said, please don't stop. My son told me something that I want to share with you. After this happened, my son wanted to die. He told me it's only because of you and your prayers for him that he now wants to live. You have given him hope. You have saved his life. We are commissioned and we are called to speak to the dry bones and the power of the Holy Spirit and say to them, you can and you will live because God is able. Let us pray together. Lord God, whatever circumstances are here this morning that we have grown weary of, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever burdens you've put on our hearts for a world gone sour, Lord, we know that you are able. I pray that you will encourage hearts, breathe the breath of your spirit into our dry spirits. Make us alive, make us filled with joy, make us look up and know that you are able. Amen. May the God who is able to do far more abundantly than anything we can ask or think, who lives for you, who died for you, who is coming in glory for you, bless you this day with encouragement to know that he is able to take whatever's on your heart and work it for good to his glory and honor. Go in the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may you go giving thanks to God the Father for him. Amen.